your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome a very special guest today, Allie Lipson Jubilier. Allie, fantastic having you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
So, Allie, was really excited to have you on today because you're doing so many awesome things in the space. And I was excited to kind of drill down on a bunch of them. But, you know, before we even get started, you have this incredible background.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we obviously met through a friend and, you know, kind of looking at everything you've done, you were, you know, most recently at Revolution Global, and you were on the council side.
Yeah.
And, you know, prior to that, you spent a lot of time at Groupon, which we all know and love and use them for many years. But you were, you know, essentially vice president and deputy general counsel over there and chief compliance officer. So doing some really great stuff.
Yeah.
So you know the law very well. And obviously going back into your career as well, you were at Tribune, you were in counsel over there, you were at Seafarth Shaw as an attorney, mm-hmm. and you were also an extern at the U.S. Attorney's Office, which was very cool.
Once upon a time.
And so now you're doing so much. I mean, you're the founder of Shiv & Bones and, you know, obviously providing incredible legal, HR, and compliance to lots and lots of different companies, especially in the cannabis side. And then you're also co-founder of Cannamatch, which is doing some great stuff and connecting cannabis licensees to buyers, funders, providers, and you're kind of all over the place, which is awesome. I thought it would be fun to, let's kick off the show and maybe go into a little bit of detail as far as, you know, what you're doing across both. Obviously, you know, you have over 20 years practicing law, so you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, your experience and how you kind of moved into the cannabis world from Groupon.
So I was at Groupon. Like you said, I had been there 7.5 years at the time that I left. And actually, one of my colleagues was in the process of applying for and exploring a legal counsel position in cannabis. And I sort of lived through that experience with him. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to get into this industry and, you know, explore and see what I can do. So I actually went on LinkedIn and basically, I did my research first into the biggest companies in Chicago. And then I went on LinkedIn and basically cold called various people and said, hey, like, this is what I want to do next in my career. And got a couple, you know, ended up meeting with a lot of different folks and ultimately landed at Revolution, which was one of the smaller, you know, cannabis companies in Illinois at the time. And I just felt like I really bonded with the team and thought, you know, this is a place where I can make a lot of impact and build a lot of things from the ground up. Out of the gate, mm-hmm. which is what I love to do. So ultimately landed at Revolution and had a wild, fun and incredibly, influential two plus years there.
Totally. That's awesome. Well, listen, I love that you literally picked up the phone and started calling people to get into the space. So that's, I love that aggressiveness. You know, when you're at Revolution, you know, obviously you're at the forefront also of compliance and, you know, obviously at Philo, a big part of what we do is really focused on, you know, tracking regulation and ordinances. And obviously things move so fast, you know, in our space. So I'm curious at the time, like, how are you guys actually tracking all of that movement?
At Revolution specifically? Yeah. You engage with software, you know, CannaRegs, obviously, you know, very well. And so those provide, you know, really helpful updates on the regulatory happenings in each state. I also had a really great team. I had two attorneys who I worked with and also like a head of comms and government affairs. And, you know, between all of us, we just, And, you know, obviously, like any company, it's about strategy and where they're looking. So, you know, you pay attention to the states that are on that roadmap, and maybe you're paying attention to other states as well, just because of the similarities, or maybe there's future strategic initiatives there. But, you know, you focus where the immediate needs are. And between all of us, you know, we're able to sort of keep track of it all, where Revolution was looking to grow.
And so what was it for you that, you know, you said, you know what, I think I want to actually go into, you know, building my own consulting business. And like, what was that decision for you to kind of go from counsel to start, you know, helping lots and lots of people?
Yeah, you know, I think it was wanting to really explore the ancillary industries around cannabis a bit more. You know, I've been doing consulting work for AeroPay for quite some time now. And, you know, that was like a whole area of law unto itself, you know, in particular in cannabis, where there's all kinds of roadblocks and compliance issues around, you know, money laundering and transmitting money and all that kind of stuff. So I was really, you know, interested in exploring sort of those kinds of ancillary businesses and the tech community that is growing massively around cannabis and finding efficiencies and things like that. So, that was a big, I love the operator side, but learning about the ancillary stuff popping up around cannabis and the technology field was really something that I was interested in exploring.
Cool. Well, I think, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, you kind of work, you know, obviously in a combination of, you know, endemic and non-endemic companies. So, you know, obviously you just mentioned AeroPay, and I know you're also doing, you know, work with G2. But maybe what are some of the, I'd say, challenges and also opportunities that maybe cannabis companies are presented with that perhaps non-cannabis ones aren't?
Yeah. Well, I mean, banking obviously is a huge one. You know, finding banks that will work with you and hold your money is obviously a huge challenge. Cashless payment is also a big, area within cannabis that's growing immensely for obvious reasons, right? No one wants to be handling mass amounts of cash. Mm-hmm. You know, there's compliance issues around that. There's theft issues. There's, AML, you know, all kinds of things that you kind of have to keep track of. So, and, you know, just from a compliance perspective, you know, of course, everybody would love to walk into a dispensary and use their credit card, right? But that can't happen on the debit card side, though. There are companies out there who, you know, are willing to run debits on credit card rails, essentially, at these dispensaries. And that's a compliance issue. So, you know, there's just all kinds of roadblocks that everyone has to deal with in cannabis. I mean, when I was at Revolution, even, you know, we had different HR, HRIS systems that we were using for payroll, depending on, you know, whether it was a dispensary or cultivation, and what state. And, you know, these are sort of inferior systems, you know, that you have to use in cannabis, because some of the bigger companies, you know, won't work in the cannabis industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, the downside of that is that you're dealing, you know, a lot of times with an inferior system. The upside to that is that there's been a lot of companies that have sprung up out of those sort of gaps that cannabis companies are facing. So, you know, you are finding then technology systems and that are specifically designed to deal with cannabis companies, which is nice. You know, I mean, hopefully it won't be that way forever, but right now that's what we're dealing with.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about legalization on a federal level. And this kind of comes up in conversation like every single day from people.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like every day there's something in the news cycle. You know, you have like Amazon, which is lobbying now to, you know, legalize cannabis. And, you know, it's not as easy as just saying, hey, let's legalize it, right? So, you know, I'm just curious, like, what's your take on everything? Like, when you actually look at it and you, kind of say, you know what, I think this is going to happen in a year, 2 years, 3 years. Like, yeah. What do you think? Obviously, there's no right answers here.
Yeah, I think we're still a ways off, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, I'm hoping there will be incremental steps in between, you know, that like with banking, for example. I mean, there's the MORE Act and Safe Harbor. Do I think those are going to go through anytime soon? No. But, right. You know, maybe there's some loosening of rules around, you know, ability with interstate commerce, although I kind of doubt it, to be honest with you. I mean, I think there are a lot of the bigger institutional players that are just saying it's not, we're not going to get in the industry until it's federally legal. And I think that the fact that Biden, you know, doesn't seem to be a huge supporter of, I would call him a reluctant supporter, maybe, of cannabis. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got, you know, the Senate makeup and whether Biden will even win, you know, the next election. So I think we're still a ways off, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I don't see it happening during Biden's first term. But, you know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I think there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of people that need to be involved. And, you know, there's obviously, you know, more and more people are coming on board, just at least from a consumer sentiment perspective. Like, I think we're up to almost 70% across the nation of people right. who want cannabis legalized at this point. You know, I think the last 14 to 16 months have proved to us through COVID that, you know, it's changed the game across the board, like dramatically.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think we obviously need to, you know, we have to get banking needs to happen first. I mean, first and foremost, right?
Right.
But I do think, you know, at the end of the day, it is actually like we are moving in the right direction. And, you know, obviously there are certain states which you look at them and you're like, oh my God, every state should have this potential opportunity from a revenue perspective, you know?
Totally.
Any like, you know, thoughts as far as, you know, you obviously were at Revolution. Now you're working with a ton of different companies. Anything that you see across the board on whether it's a trend or maybe even a gotcha moment or something like that when it comes to, you know, what has happened the last year? It could be compliance. It could be just overall regulation. It could be states kind of not moving fast enough once they, you know, legalize.
Well, I mean, look, what happened in Illinois has been a complete mess. I don't know what the result of the mess will be.
Right.
But, you know, certainly the fact that licensees have had to wait as long as they've had to wait to get these licenses issued. And, you know, people have made investments, made life changes, real estate, you know, all of these things. I mean, it's kind of an epic fail and sad for Illinois, which, you know, I think at the beginning of legalization for adult use was, you know, kind of on the forefront. So I think that's a big, I mean, there's a lot of lessons I think learned that hopefully other states will look at Illinois and say, okay, here's where we did things right and here's where we fell apart. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that will help, you know, future states that come online. So I think that was kind of that this process has been sort of a watershed moment, you know, for cannabis in Illinois and elsewhere, I guess, just like looking at what's happened here. Mm-hmm. I also think that the going back to the technology piece for a moment, that, you know, COVID sort of reinforced that this industry is not going anywhere, that cannabis is pandemic proof, it's recession proof. And it also accelerated dramatically the technology piece, you know, the ability to prepay online or to pre-authorize, you know, an order online and the efficiencies that the dispensaries had to come up with in order to protect employees, you know, bringing whether it's bringing, you know, product to deliver to someone in their car or through windows or whatever else, you know, reshaping sort of the waiting room areas. You know, there's just been a lot of things that I think COVID accelerated within the industry and within the dispensaries. And I don't think we're ever going to go back from there.
Yeah.
You know, like the, all the online stuff. I mean, that's the way people expect to shop in 2021. You know what I mean? COVID, no COVID. But there were all kinds of regulatory restrictions in place pre-COVID that, you know, kind of fell by the wayside because out of necessity. And I don't think they're going to go away.
Right. No, for sure. So I think, you know, we've got so many folks who tune into the show right now, whether they're an MSO or an SSO or a mom and pop. And, you know, I thought it might be interesting, you know, while you're on the show here, you know, as folks are kind of listening, any, you know, any advice that you can give maybe to, let's just say, a newly formed SSO, you know, kind of things that they should be on the lookout for once they launch their business when it comes to compliance?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a few like, hey, don't forget to do this right out of the
Right. Well, for sure, the banking piece, right? And being very careful, you know, I wrote a blog post about like the questions you should ask a cashless payment provider. You know, do it right from the outset. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, easy isn't always the best way. And there's actually plenty of really great banking partners out there now who will bank in cannabis. And they're not that hard, you know, to find. You know, partner Colorado Credit Union, Abaca, you know, there's a bunch of others out there. So good, you know, good banking partners, I think, are essential. And you know, I guess at the end of the day, and maybe this is just more from like the lawyer perspective in me, but, you know, setting expectations up front around, you know, ethical and compliant conduct, I guess, you know, from the people you work with, from your employees, your vendors. You know, this is an industry that sprung from an illegal industry. And so you really want to make sure that you're, you know, doing things the right way and buttoned up on the front end and make sure that you're emphasizing that just to avoid, you know, issues down the road with,
sure,
you know, people doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm. And do you, you know, do you happen to come across, like, as you're talking to a lot of, you know, clients, do they come to you and say, hey, we actually want to deploy, you know, a really solid advertising campaign through digital? Do they come to you and say, how do we do that based on states and jurisdictions?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do. You know, the licensing, I do think we're going to see a lot of new licensing deals. I mean, you already see them, you know, coming online. It's nothing crazy. Think about, you know, Cindy's Edibles and for Prado. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, those kinds of, you know, it's funny. I was driving on the highway like 2 weeks ago, and I just could not believe how many billboards had sprung up, you know, for all these dispensaries out in the suburbs. I mean, I think it was like every mile. So yeah, that has changed dramatically. Will continue.
I think a lot of people also don't realize, you know, because there's so many kind of gotcha moments when you're deploying digital and what you can and can't do and where you could run, and obviously can't do any media on social, right, and, you know, can't on Google. I think a lot of people are just like, oh, well, I can't do anything, so I'll just do a billboard. But what they don't realize is that through programmatic, they could run across all of the main publishing sites that people are on all day long, you know?
Right.
So I think there's definitely a lot of people coming around now saying, okay, you know what, we got to think a little more strategically about how we, you know, activate our digital.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be the old school way of putting a billboard up, you know?
Right, right. And there's such ambiguity there too, you know? It's like, you know, in everything in cannabis, there's always ambiguity. So it's like, where are you going to push, you know, some of that is, those are business decisions. Like, where are you going to push the line a little bit and where are you going to hold back?
Totally. Well, listen, I think there's obviously you've been in the space, you know, compliance, you know what's going on. So I feel like you're going to be so busy, you don't know what to do with all of your, you know, clients, which is great.
Yeah.
And
it's nuts.
Yeah. And then I think from a, you know, just from a perspective of the show, and I know you've listened to the show before, but we always do some quick fire questions at the end.
Yeah.
And I've been mixing it up a little bit. So instead of just kind of asking questions, there's this fun game called This or That.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can get to know you a little better.
Okay, perfect.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First question, dog or cat?
Ooh, tough one. I love both. Dog.
Good answer. What's your YouTube?
What was it? What are YouTube?
Netflix or YouTube?
Oh, Netflix.
Phone call or text?
Text.
Cardio or weights?
Neither.
I think that's the answer for most of us lately, right? Neither. Facebook or Instagram?
Oh my God. It should be Instagram, but I'm less comfortable on Instagram, so I guess I have to say Facebook.
Okay. Cake or pie?
Pie.
Big party or small gathering?
Small gathering.
Okay. What's worse, doing the laundry or doing dishes?
Laundry.
Okay. We're really learning about you here. Okay, last question.
Yeah.
Saving or spending?
Oh, spending.
I feel like you and I answered very similar, except for the cat and dog question. I would never think about it for a moment because I'm allergic to cats.
Yeah, I'm a little allergic to them as well, but I still love cats.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Ali, listen, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge and obviously wishing you lots of success and luck in all of the various companies that you have started and doing. And it's been fun to see. And obviously, you know, we'll have to have you back on the show in a few months and, you know, talk a little more about compliance.
I would love that. Yeah. And seeing where the Illinois market shakes out, because that's going to be fascinating.
Always good to have follow-ups on important conversations, you know?
For sure. I mean, I myself am very interested to see how it all turns out. So yeah. You and me both.
Cool. Well, Ali, again, a pleasure. And everybody who's tuning in, Ali Lipson Juvelier, founder of Shib and Bones and Canamatch.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.